Good morning.
Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church, where we get to gather today to celebrate our God for his grace again. Today, and always, really, we celebrate Christ as the light of the world, and that's a great gospel truth that we love to celebrate. But sometimes we can forget that Jesus being the light of the world also means that he's bringing judgment upon all darkness in the world. So today we're going to look at both truths, and we're going to celebrate God not just for his grace, but also for his justice. And you'll see that reflected in the service today. Today we will also not be celebrating the Lord's Supper as planned, so there will be some changes in the second half of the service. I'll give instructions as we go along. Let's begin our worship with 556 in the Red Songbooks. May God bless your worship this morning. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil, and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. For all that we need in life and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care.
Amen. Amen.
The works of the Lord are great and glorious. His name is worthy of praise. Almighty God, look with favor on your humble servants and stretch out the right hand of your power to defend us against all our enemies. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Today, as we continue to consider the light of Christ, we also consider, remember, the judgment that is coming. And we see that here in our first lesson from Isaiah chapter 42. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. But those who trust in idols, who say to images, "You are our gods," will be turned back in utter shame. Hear, you deaf, look, you blind, and see. Who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. It pleased the Lord, for the sake of his righteousness, to make his law great and glorious. The word of the Lord. People throughout the centuries, Christians, believers in the Old Testament, have joined together in psalms and sung them together. We sing Psalm 72. Please note that there's a different tone for each of the four lines. Second lesson comes from Ephesians chapter 5. Here we see that the people who are light in the Lord should live by that light and avoid the darkness. From Ephesians 5. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord. The verse of the day reflects where we get this light from. What are we looking to for this light? We see that in John chapter 3. We say it together. Alleluia.
Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Alleluia.
Now please stand in honor of the words of the gospel. Here we see an ironic example in the gospel where Jesus literally gives sight to the blind, but we also see two different reactions to that. People blinding themselves to it, but also some coming to the light of faith. As Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and we'll join together in the hymn of the day, hymn 343 in the Red Song Books, 343.
Thank you.
God's grace and God's peace to you, brothers and sisters, through Christ our Lord, who is our light. Amen. The sermon text for today comes from the first lesson in Isaiah chapter 42. If you'd like to follow along, we'll go thought by thought through there. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your warnings. Amen. Anybody here ever been to the Grand Canyon? You know why they call it the Grand Canyon? It's pretty big. It's a pretty big canyon. You ever looked at the edge of the canyon and looked down? Pretty steep. So let me ask you, if you saw somebody at the Grand Canyon and they had their face buried in their phone, they were walking straight for the edge, what would you do? Call out to them. You're like, hey, buddy, listen up. Look. What if you were in a major city, maybe a busy street, and somebody had earbuds in and like headphones on, and they were walking out into the street with a bus barreling down? What would you do? Try to get their attention somehow, right? Like, hey, pay attention. Look what's happening. When you see danger is imminent for someone, you warn them. That's what you do. But what if a person at the Grand Canyon heard your warning and was just like, yeah, whatever, and walked right off the cliff anyway? Pretty foolish. Even more foolish yet, what if that person with those earbuds and headphones on went, oh, thank you, you saved me, and then walked right out into the street anyway and got hit by the bus? That would be even worse. Well, God tells us today in Isaiah, danger is imminent. Something is coming. So he says, hear and listen. Look and see. But you and I can be, sadly, pretty foolish. So today especially, hear and listen. Look and see. When you look at Isaiah 42 here and you see that there's something that's imminent, it's actually this danger is coming from the Lord himself. He says, for a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out. I gasp and pant. There is something that the Lord has been holding back. Something that he can't hold back any longer. It's like a woman when she reaches that 9 months of pregnancy, can't hold that baby back. It's time. Same thing here. God can't hold it back. There's something that's coming. What is it? He says, I will lay waste the mountains and dry up the hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. It's a picture of great judgment. This is all-encompassing judgment. Mountains, hills, vegetation, rivers, pools, all of it leveled and dried up. It's coming and you can't escape it. The wrath of God upon the sin that infects the whole world is coming. Isaiah here sees a vision of what's happening on the last day. And when we hear this, and we hear the scripture always say, soon, soon, soon. And yet it's been so many years we can think, oh, it's a long ways away. But no, God says here, it's imminent. So listen. Pay attention. But our God, being who he is, not just full of wrath upon sin, but full of mercy. Not just the judge, but the forgiver, says that he will provide a way out for people. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. The Lord will not forsake these promises. He says he's going to do them, and he will. And boy, has he. Look again at these descriptions and just think of what the Lord has done for us. Lead the blind by ways they have not known. Guide them along unfamiliar paths. We all, when we come into this world, are spiritually blind. We have no idea where we're going. We try to follow the law written on our hearts, but that doesn't lead anywhere except to the edge of that cliff. And yet here Jesus comes and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. God provides a way out through Christ and Christ alone. That's a way that you and I would never have found on our own because of our spiritual blindness. And yet God has opened our eyes to it. He has revealed to us the path to safety. He's revealed it to us in the Scriptures. And look at what the Scriptures do for us in the next one. I will turn darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. We by nature are walking around in darkness. We're stumbling over all these things. We're stumbling over our consciences. We're stumbling over our guilt. We're stumbling over our arrogance and self-righteousness. We've got enemies we can't even see in this darkness trying to trip us up. So what did God do? He came and he cleared all of those obstacles out of the way. He paid for sin and removed our guilt. He nullifies our arrogance and self-righteousness with his grace. He took on our enemies as we celebrated a few weeks ago, and he defeated every single one. God does all of this for us. He says, judgment is coming, and yet I will provide a way out. And you and I know that way. It is the light of Christ. He even gives us his word to guide us. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. But what about those who deny God's guiding hand? What's going to happen to them? But those who trust in idols, who say to images, you are our gods, will be turned back in utter shame. All unbelief is idolatry one way or the other. You're putting your trust in some sort of idol. Maybe it has a name of a god that we know, or maybe that name for that person is their own name. Whatever it is, all unbelief is idolatry. And you're denying the path that God has set and his Christ. And when you do that, God says, judgment is coming. It's leading right to that edge. And you will be turned back in utter shame. So basically, these truths, as we summarize them, judgment is coming because of sin. God provides the only way out. And if we reject it, it'll be to our shame. So what do you think he wants us to do? Hear, you deaf. Look, you blind. And see. He wants us to pay attention. And this is especially true for you and me. Let me repeat that so you can hear and listen to it one more time. This is especially true for you and me. We who have the light of the Scriptures can become calloused to them. We can become hardened to them. When we were in China and we witnessed someone come to faith and got to see how their lives changed and the joy and the fire for the gospel that they had after that, it was glorious. They were going to worship, even though it was like an hour or more subway ride to and from. They were going to 4 Bible studies a week, even during finals week for the college students. They would host Bible studies, even though it meant if they got caught, they'd lose their job. Their faith, they put us to shame in a lot of ways. You and I struggle with getting the kids up early enough to drive 10 minutes down the road. And we struggle with hosting a Bible study. Our biggest fear is, I got to clean the house. What snacks am I going to put out on the table? You and I, who have been exposed to the Scriptures for so long, can become hardened to them and calloused to them. And that's what was true for Israel, too. God says, who is blind but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. Israel was supposed to be the servant of the Lord, the one who would be kind of like the lampstand to shine the glory of God to the whole world. And through them would come the capital S servant, the one who would be the Savior of the world. And think about all of the glorious things that the nation of Israel had seen. They saw the 10 plagues. and the Exodus. They saw the walls of Jericho come down in every battle that took the promised land. They saw the might of the judges. They saw the miracles of Elijah and Elisha and the other prophets. Most recently here, they had seen 185,000 Assyrian soldiers be killed by the Lord in one night. Even after this, we saw through Ezekiel what God did through Daniel, all the way up to Christ, as we saw in the gospel lesson. They had seen so many things. But it wasn't just what they saw, it was also what they heard. The revelation that they received from God. The visions and the messages through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The covenant law to Moses on Mount Sinai. Part of that law being the temple regulations that was all a picture of Christ and what he was going to do. The Psalms of King David, the wisdom of King Solomon, the message of prophet after prophet. They had all of this history of everything they had seen, all of this recorded revelation from God, and they had it before them in the scriptures often. And yet they made themselves deaf and blind to it. God says, "You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen." God had done so much for them. He had cleared all the obstacles, taken their hands, given them the light of the scriptures. And they pushed them away for their own false gods. They pushed them away for the law that they thought they were following well. Who else has seen and heard many things? You and me. Think of all of the things we have seen, the glorious things God has done. We have seen forgiveness, life, and salvation be poured over the foreheads of how many people? In the waters of baptism. We have seen someone, maybe a friend or a family member, or even ourselves if we can remember it, go from the darkness of unbelief to the light of faith. We have seen guilt erased and sinners united as they partake of communion together. We have seen the power of God work in our hearts as we turn away from a sin that normally had our number. We have seen the power of the gospel grow and sustain a congregation for over 50 years. We have seen and witnessed the strength of faith that a loved one has had in the face of death. You and I have seen many things, but it's not just what we've seen, it's also what we've heard. We have the very words of God in the scriptures too. We have the exposition of God's word in the sermons and in Bible studies and Sunday school, all our church-going lives. We hear the absolution, the lessons, the verse of the day, the blessing. We hear the songs and hymns and psalms that our brothers and sisters sing, whether with voices great or small. We have encouragements from brothers and sisters in the midst of hard times. But does any of this describe you? Who is blind like but my servant, and deaf like the messenger I send? Who is blind like the one in covenant with me, blind like the servant of the Lord? You have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. We too can become hardened and callous to the scriptures that we've been given. So let's look at what Israel did so that we can learn from their mistakes. Israel took these beautiful truths that they had, and what they did is they turned them into something they were never meant to be. They took that law that they had been given, all of this history that they had with God, and they almost looked at it with pride, as if it gave them privilege too. You and I can do the same. You and I can take the Ten Commandments when we hear them and think, keep those, kind of puff ourselves up. We can take the gospel truths and turn them into something they were never meant to be. I've been baptized. I'm a child of God. Therefore, sin isn't an eternal threat to me. We can even take God's grace and use it as a reason to sin. Yes, we can do just what Israel did by turning this light of the scriptures actually into darkness But there's one thing that we do that Israel did that we have to especially talk about. It's something that we're especially susceptible to here. Israel had all of these reflections of these gospel truths. They had all of these habits and things and laws that they did. Think of what they did at the temple with the sacrifices. But for them, all of that just became the act of what they were doing. And they forgot about the reason they were doing it. Think about it this way. They focused on the what instead of the why. We can do the same. For example, we can take this Sunday liturgy and look at it as dry and stale. These are beautiful words that we get to hear every single week. And yet, after all those years, you can kind of say it in your sleep, you know? To the point where you come on Sunday morning and you become a mindless robot and just say the words on the page. And then you go home and you think, well, I didn't really get anything out of worship today. When really, it was you yourself who was going like this. We can also do the opposite. Have the opposite attitude. We can think, nope, stick to these words. These ones. We've always done them. This is what is right and good. Don't you dare deviate from this printer's ink. They are our life. No, they are not. They are meant to connect our hearts to the truths of the gospel. And if they're not serving that, well, now you're focusing on the what of what you're doing instead of the why. Again, making yourselves blind and deaf. In other words, you have seen many things, but you pay no attention. Your ears are open, but you do not listen. We who have the light of the Scriptures are especially at risk to becoming hardened to them. So ask yourself, what sins and sinful attitudes have you nestled into? What truths of Scripture have you ignored or twisted to serve your own purposes? Let God take you by the hand. Listen to Him as He calls out to you, hear and listen, look and see. Let Him guide you down the path once again, all over again, almost for the first time, to Good Friday. As He points out what His Son did for us on that cross, may you see the light of the glory of Jesus allowing that deep darkness of our deeds to envelop Himself instead of us. May that light open up your eyes all the more to what God does. But let's not just hear and listen, look and see what God has done. Let's also hear and listen, look and see to what we can do for Him. God has blazed this trail. He's illuminated it with His Word. Let's walk it. Let's evaluate like we did in Ephesians 5, the things that we can do to walk in that light and avoid the darkness. Because those deeds of darkness, they lead to the edge of the cliff. And God says, judgment is coming. So let Him lead you to safety. Listen more now than ever. Hear and listen. Look and see, brothers and sisters. Amen. Please stand. We now confess our faith in the path that God has blazed for us according to the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This morning we will not collect an offering as usual. You will notice that the offering plates will be outside in the lobby upon the table. You can leave your offering and the connection cards in those as you exit today. You may be seated.
This morning I'd like you to turn to page 125 in your red song books, the hymnals in front of you.
We're going to pray this responsive prayer for the season of Lent, and it's not just fitting because it's the season of Lent, but I think you'll see that it's also very fitting with everything that's going on in the world. Good reminder for all of us. 125. We pray. Heavenly Father, you loved the world and gave your Son to liberate us from sin and death by his obedient death on the cross.
We confess that without your love, we are lost.
Lord of the Church, we thank you for the treasure of the gospel. By your Spirit, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith.
Strengthen our determination to do what pleases you, no matter what the danger or the cost.
Let us pray for those who carry a cross in the name of Christ and face ridicule and persecution for the sake of the kingdom. Missionaries and chaplains, young people who stand up for what is right in the face of pressure to do what is wrong, and all who pay a high price for their faith and their values as Christians.
By your Spirit, Lord, grant them patience and endurance.
Let us pray for those who carry heavy burdens in life, the sick and the chronically ill, the depressed and the lonely, those torn by conflict and personal relationships, those victimized by war and injustice, and those who face the terrors of life with a heavy heart.
Grant them peace, O Lord, and in your mercy, be their guardian and friend, their comfort and hope.
Let us pray for those who care for others, pastors and counselors, physicians and nurses, social workers and caring friends, all who feed the hungry, comfort the hurting, and stand beside the dying.
Strengthen them in their work, O Lord, and do not let them become weary in doing good.
Father, make your power known in the minds and hearts, especially of Grace Naves, Lois Brower, and Tamara Wininger. As they face their challenges, Lord, give their bodies strength and healing. Guide their family and friends with wisdom as they help and encourage. Bless the work of doctors and nurses who provide for their care. Holy Spirit, please make your presence known in the lives of those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries this week. Strengthen them to trust even more in your promises of forgiveness, grace, and eternal life. Lord, please give us all strength of faith and trust in you as we address the issue that's going on around the world with the coronavirus. Guide us to be a light for you so that others can see the strength of our faith in our Savior. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Help us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Keep us faithful even to the point of death, that we may receive the crown of life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We also join together in the prayer that our Lord taught us to pray.
It's on page 11 in your worship folders.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Today we will not be celebrating the sacrament,
but we will continue to sing the distribution hymn, the one that was marked out. It actually is very fitting for today still, number 311. Now you'll notice there are 8 verses of this hymn. So what we're going to do is all of us are going to join together in the first verse. Then the men are going to sing the even verses. The women are going to sing the odd verses. And we'll all join together again for the final 8th verse. helps build up the anticipation for the next time we get to partake together, right? Please stand for a prayer and the blessing. Please note that the prayer we will pray is not the one that's printed in the bulletin. We pray. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the closing hymn, which is number 367. Good morning again. It's a pleasure worshiping with you. Thank you for being flexible this morning as we all try to adjust and use our wisdom and as we sacrifice things that we love for the sake of others. So thank you for your understanding. Please keep us in your prayers as we continue to use wisdom as we move forward. We will try to gain spiritual wisdom still. We will have Bible studies today, both the one here in the sanctuary as well as Sunday school and the Sunday school study. So we will continue with those today. A big welcome to all of our visitors. If you have any questions about our ministry here at St. Mark's, please let us know. And you can also visit the Welcome Center, which is a table there in the lobby. Today at 5 p.m., we will continue to have Bible study as well, a Bible information class. So once again at 5 p.m. in the Luther Room. A few announcements for this upcoming week. There will be no mornings with Mommy. We're going to follow suit on a lot of the other children's programs going around in the area, so no mornings with Mommy this Tuesday. On Tuesday, there will still be a principal call meeting. We will hold it here in the sanctuary. If you want to, you can spread out in here. So that'll be at 7 p.m. here on Tuesday. This Wednesday, we will not be having our fellowship Lenten supper, but we will still be having worship at 7 p.m. as of right now. So 7 p.m. worship Wednesday continues. Dad's breakfast, we will still continue to have that. That will be this Friday at 6 a.m. at Black Bear Diner. Some good food and some good Bible study. Next Sunday, Stephen Bautista is coming back and leading us in worship, so be ready for that. That'll be awesome. Less than 1 month to Good Friday and Easter. How cool is that? It comes up fast. God be praised. We get to celebrate it once again. Just a few announcements for you for that. We're going to have a campus cleanup before that. It's going to come the weekend before, so April 4th. It's been moved from this Saturday to that Saturday, 2 weeks later. The egg hunt, in case you're wondering, the Easter egg hunt, we're going to wait and see. We're going to kind of take that. We've got a little bit of time before we have to make a decision, but we're going to wait and see on that one. Easter brunch that day, as of right now, will also continue, and we will have some sign-ups there in the back in the lobby on the other side of that wall. So please check those out and see what you can help to sign up for the brunch. The seminary choir is still coming on its way, April 13th. That's the day after Easter, that evening at 7 p.m. We still need 8 hosts yet. So if you can think about it and make it work, that'd be great. There will be 8 seminarians. If anything, they can sleep, I don't know, on the floor in here maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'm joking. In everything, as we move forward together as a congregation with all of this coronavirus and COVID-19 stuff going on, just continue to be safe and continue to be smart. You know, we don't want to test God. At the same time, we also want to trust God. We don't want to overreact. So continue to send your prayers up to Him. They're as powerful as ever. And let your light shine for others. In light of all of this, too, won't be shaking hands on the way out. If you want, we can touch elbows. It's fine with me. But just keep that in mind, too. All the other announcements, you can find those in the weekly news. May God bless your week, as always. Please stick around and greet one another.